Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Lauren Conaway to talk about the top startups in and around Minneapolis, the Twin Cities. We're twins, right, Lauren?
Heck yeah.
I know.
We
get that a lot. I know. People are often like, man, I didn't believe your I didn't know your twin sister was also a Startup Hustle host.
Right. But
I don't know. I like to think that we're
mind twins, though. We both have that on.
Yeah, there we go. That's more like it. Because I was going to say I'm significantly older than you, which would make it hard for us to be twins as well.
That would be real weird. From you're my brother from another mother. But
there you go. But speaking of twins, like I said, there is a twin city. Now we have officially called this Minneapolis's top startups. But we didn't leave out St. Paul because I don't want people in St. Paul to be upset. So anyway, we also agreed to not say Minnesota too much. So I'm going to get that out of the way. And I know I already used my card on that one. So now before we get into today's top startups in the Minneapolis St. Paul area, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. That's what we do. Woo-hoo. There are 350,000 open tech jobs in the United States as of today, which is crazy if you're trying to build a company. So let us help you build a software team quickly and affordably. All right. So we're back. We missed a month of top startups, and we're going to make that up soon. But we are going to talk all about isn't Minnesota also like the land of 10,000 lakes and
other stuff? Well, and I think I remember reading a while back that they were like number one in the Twin Cities area was number one in like recreation. They have like more zoos and parks and things like that than a lot of different places in the country, which I thought was super cool. Like, you know, you always want to go to a place that has a lot of fun stuff to do, right?
Is it fair to say that I'm not a big reader of lists right before I publish a list of top startups?
Yeah. I feel like you're kind of anti-listicle, Matt. Like I've sensed that about you.
Well, I am, because we've talked about that in the past. It's just more along the lines of I don't take it personally when I'm not on one.
Yeah.
And some people do. That's the eighth most popular question that I answer on a regular basis, Lauren, is, are you salty that you're not on this list? I'm like, well, first off, that's for people under 40 and I'm 46. So no, but thank you for thinking I'm young. With that, being young is one of the things we look for in any city's top startups. We try to find the movers, the shakers, and I got to say, it is a bit of a rolling scoring system. So, you know, we've had some places like Chicago or Austin, which are big and have tons of options, and then some don't. And we want to try to hit all the cities. We don't want to leave places like Minneapolis out, but Minneapolis is a lot like our hometown of Kansas City, meaning a mid-market size city. Probably very similar. I mean, in fact, the Minnesota Twins and the Kansas City Royals even play in the same division. So, but yeah. And by the way, I used to travel to Minnesota in Minneapolis and St. Paul quite a bit for a former job I have. I like it up there. And it is really, really nice in the summer because it's not 1,000 degrees like it is here in Kansas. So, well, I'm ready to get started. Are you?
Let's dive right into it.
Okay, as a quick reminder, we are not listing these in order. Like, there's no number one. So you're on the list or you're not. This is a very binary thing. So you're list or you're not list. So first on the list, we've got Fulcrum Manufacturing Cloud. And Fulcrum's trying to modernize manufacturing. And they describe themselves as a software as a service, ERP, MRP, and MES platform. There'll be a quiz on what all this stand for after the show. That it helps allow small and mid-sized manufacturers to improve efficiency through workflow optimization and automated data collection. What does that mean? It means that they are trying to create some paperless workflows and help people leverage machine learning and automation, predictive analysis, and a lot of different stuff. Now, why is that important? Look around. Our supply chain's broken in so many different ways.
Oh my God.
For so many different reasons. Anything that creates additional efficiency or accountability or communication, I think is a great thing. This is a company that's received $3.1 million in funding, according to our research, and they are moving forward with all that. I'm all into that. And there's been a big, big focus on supply chain related technology since the pandemic hit, because we realized how broken ours is.
Well, and I think you know this, but I mean, not too long ago, my car was gone for like a month and a half because I had a minor accident, but they needed two parts that through supply chain issues and difficulties, they weren't able to get for forever. So, industries across the country, across the world are experiencing this. So anything that can help out, you know, I'm super psyched about. I missed my car.
Yeah, I think sometimes people don't consider the delicacy of the supply chain in general, and that certain things just can't, like missing one part is enough to not be able to ship it. So yeah. All right. You're next. What do you got? All right.
So next up, so I have to tell you, this one's a little bit near and dear to my heart, but we have Abilitech Medical, and what they have done, they have kind of revolutionized an industry. They're a medical device company, but they create assistive technologies for individuals that have neuromuscular conditions. So like muscular dystrophy, spinal cord injuries, strokes, like things that make it more difficult for them to move in easy ways to retain their independence. You know, the Abilitech Medical is here to help those individuals. And they've created these assistive orthotic technologies and devices to help people use their arms better and help people use their hands better and help people do just complete everyday tasks, you know, those things that you and I don't necessarily think about every day. And so I love Abilitech Medical. The fact that they are allowing people to stay independent and be able to take care of themselves and give them that freedom and that agency is just so cool. you know, they've raised $8.2 million in two funding rounds. So clearly, I feel like the medical industry is sitting up and taking notice, definitely. But very, very cool.
And this is a little bit different than what you described. But one of the things, you know, I've witnessed the impact of some of this with our Startup Hustle TV co-host, Eric Perkins. So his brother, Jamie, lost all four fingers on it, all four index fingers on a hand, and last year, and he's gone through multiple surgery. Yeah, and it's so. And he's a home builder and a carpenter and a craftsman, and obviously that's a pretty important part, of what he does. And he just got an orthotic type device that is hand and fingers, and I've seen it on their YouTube channel, and I'm just absolutely blown away. And I was like, wow, that's like a robot hand or something. And I talked to Eric about it, and I said, do you have to like charge it and take it off? He's like, no, it just works. Like that's just awesome. Puts it on. It, you know, I was like, wow. And I said, well, I mean, is it accurate? And he goes, he can pick a nail up off of the shop floor and stuff like that. And I was like, wow. And I think that that's really cool. Cause you know, you look at this kind of technology, and I think anytime you're an entrepreneur or you're building or participating in anything, kind of like what you do at Innovate.her, you get to wake up every day and you're like, wow, I do meaningful stuff that changes people's lives for the better and makes them happier. And I think that's a good thing to get up and do every day.
That just gave me the warm fuzzy right in my heart, like in four different ways.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, I mean, it's like, it's sometimes easy to, I think, as an entrepreneur to, you know, like you got to find meaning in what you're doing. When you have a purpose-driven life, life's a lot better. So yeah. Okay. Next on the list, we have Otrify, and you can listen to them on our September 7th episode titled, What is Supplier Management? Otrify is an AI-powered supplier management system that manages and optimizes supplier quality assurance and food processing. So this relationship with the food supply chain is really important as well. And if you think about the ever-growing world population and the implications of what our own food supply does, not only environmentally, but for just general survival, anything that increases the quality assurance of that, I'm into. And, you know, this is, you know, you talk about like, I mean, this is a blockchain powered platform that keeps things like, so why blockchain and food supply? Well, it's a ledger that exists and can't be changed. And this kind of accountability, when you look at anything that any kind of foodborne illness or whatever that goes through, is they always want to track those things down and figure out when, where, and how. And increasing accountability with that is important. And it has big implications when it comes to just like certification, compliance management, production efficiency, food safety, disease prevention.
Yeah.
And just generally enabling farmers to communicate the history of their products from the farm to the stores. And, you know, that kind of stuff really does matter. There's, once again, a delicate supply of everything. And that's been really pointed out to us. So it's interesting to see another logistics and supply chain startup on the top list. And that's, we're forming a pattern here up in Minneapolis.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's
I like the name. By the way, I love the name of your next company on here.
You know what? I do too, actually. And I think it's a really clever little play on words, but it represents something that I think is really cool. So we have Bim Bam Boo. And you know, I love the companies that are founded by an awesome female founder. Of course, I have a little, you know, little special place in my heart for them, but I think Bim Bam Boo is super cool. So they are a tree-free paper company. And when you ask like, okay, well, how can you have tree-free paper? Well, you tap one of the most quick, fast-growing resources that we have available to us as far as paper manufacture, and that is bamboo. You know, I don't know if you understand how quickly bamboo grows.
I do, actually.
Remarkably yeah. quickly. It is, and it's a highly sustainable solution. You know, you plant a tree and it takes years and years and years, but you plant some bamboo and it takes, sometimes it feels like seconds, you know, but you're creating a really sustainable option to create these really, really superior paper products. And so, you know, highly sustainable, environmentally conscious, you know, this company is putting out really, really good product and they're doing it in such an eco-friendly way. And so they're kind of an industry leader. They are at Whole Foods. They've, you know, they bring in more than $5 million in annual revenue. They are just very, very quickly growing. They're kind of exploding. And it's all because they have found a way to create a really, really quality product that people need in a very sustainable way. And so, you know, hats off to you. Way to name it. Love the name. It's fun to say Bim Bam Boo. I kind of feel like Cinderella, like bibbidi bobbidi boo. But I really, really dig it. And, you know, the CEO is Zoe Lenven, awesome female founder. I love it. Would you use bamboo paper products, Matt?
Yeah, I'd use about anything that works. I mean, I'm not picky. You know, it's funny you mentioned, you know, bamboo is like one of those things. It really does. It grows like a weed. I mean, it's like one of those things. If you plant, you better be ready to have bamboo around, because it really does spread quickly. And if you have it in your backyard, you can also consider having a pet panda, I think.
Yeah.
Because isn't that all the pandas eat?
And I think so. And I'm fairly certain that pandas would like die without our scientific intervention. I think I read that once. But I do also just really quickly want to add that Bim Bamboo, like the products that they're creating, they're good for women's health. The product that they have created uses a pH neutral formula designed to maintain the ideal environment for vulva health. So as a woman, I'm just like, hey, thank you. Appreciate you.
I don't identify with all of those statements because I just don't know. It doesn't mean that I don't think they're important, because I do, but I can't truly empathize with you there. But I mean, you know me, I'm down for anything that's environmentally conscious and friendly. I mean, that's something that it's just gotta happen, and maybe a little faster than it is now. So there's a lot of cool stuff going on around that. You know, I like to see that someone's doing an adequate job or attempting to solve some of these problems that we've created for ourselves. Speaking of problems, you know, mental health is a big issue with a lot of different people. We've done episodes about, you know, founder's depression, and the pandemic has thrown levels of anxiety and stress at people like never before, for too many reasons to mention. And that's why Sanvelo Health has made it onto the list. And they're a leading digital mental health care provider. And they have the wonderful ranking of having the number one search position in the App Store for stress and anxiety apps. So people are definitely using it. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's like awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot. So they provide a wide variety of therapies online to open more paths for more people, and offer on-demand access to high-quality virtual coaching and care integrated with the healthcare system. You know, so the thing is if your mind isn't healthy, so many other things just don't matter. And you know, it's a real thing, and it's something that, I mean, that's a product and a business whose results can affect a whole lot of different people. And I just like that there's a digital feel to that too, because I think a lot of people probably need mental health but don't go get it, because you got to sometimes have to go somewhere to go get it. The more convenient you make people to consume or get stuff or have access to it, the more people are going to access it. So
so like millennials and Gen Xers and like the ensuing generations, like we don't tend to like calling people to make appointments. We don't like,
that's
like,
my point.
So having an avenue available to make mental health care as accessible as possible and easy as possible, top notch, way to go.
I love all things that are telehealth, because you know, like, I mean, I legitimately, when I look at the business's expenses, and speaking of the business, today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io. That's the business I own with my business partner, Matt Watson. If you tune in on Wednesdays, we are making it through a 52-part series on how to start a tech company. It's been a big hit so far, and should you be surprised that we are a full month behind on our deliverable there for the podcast, which we just decided we were going to try. We were going to try to make it up, and we were like, what gives a better view of how to start a tech company than actually being under the gun and behind things a little bit? But, you know, when I look at the expenses and stuff, and I see how much I pay for healthcare, and I wonder, like, I don't even go to the doctor, but I don't go to the doctor because, like you said, it's like you got to schedule an appointment, you got to go do stuff. It's like, I feel like I get busy, and that's not good. I mean, these things need to be accessible and in front of, like, all that we do. You know, it needs to be easy for you to fix things.
And where they are, and often where people are, is like, how easy is this? How, you know, taxing is it going to be on my mental health? All of that stuff. So,
I'll give you an example. Like you can see me right now. Like, look at how long my hair has gotten.
Yeah.
And that is simply because I don't have my shit together enough to make go get a haircut. And every time I go to do it, it's like you have a 90-minute wait. And on some days, thinking 90 minutes in advance is just way too overwhelming for me, which is also why I probably should get some of Sanvello Health's apps so I can deal with that mental stress that either that. I don't know. Jill told me I should just grow it. She just said I should just grow it out and just see.
Oh, my gosh. How are you going to have a ponytail? I don't know. I don't know if I can support that.
I don't think it could happen. You know, like 12 years ago when I owned it, what it had a different entrepreneurial adventure. And I was really embracing my newfound e-com role. Yeah. I was like, God, I don't even have to look presentable anymore. And I grew a mullet on a dare. And that went for a little bit. It wasn't even a real mullet. It just got like, the hair in the back just got a couple inches long. And then I was like, I'll send some. I have them. I have a couple. Not of that. I mean, kind of, but yeah. Okay. Let's keep this moving before I reveal any more shocking details about my past.
Yeah. I'm going to hunt down Jill and just be like, we're going to need to take a tour through some old photos, my friend. So moving on, up next we have Suna, and I actually recorded an episode with the CEO, Elizabeth Georgie, and just had a really, really great time talking to her, because one of the things that we talked a lot about, and you know that this is kind of a hot button of mine, but we talked about democratizing access to branding. And so what Suna does, they're a virtual...
What does that mean?
I'm going to get into it, but Suna is a virtual content studio platform, and it helps brands make very professional, very slick, very beautiful photos and videos for e-commerce and marketing. And so you can, you know, if you have a product that you want to showcase and you want to do some really, really great product photography, Suna has a bunch of tools and it has a platform that will allow you to do that. But not only will it allow you to do that, it'll allow you to do that really, really quickly, and it'll allow you to do it cheaply, inexpensively, affordably. And so we talk a lot about marketing, you know, around Startup Hustle, because it's really, really crucial to so many businesses. But there are so many entrepreneurs out there that, you know, they're great product managers, they're great at research design, they have great ideas, but maybe marketing isn't necessarily their forte. And that's okay, because you have Suna now to help you show your product in the best light possible and do it in a way where you don't have to go to like an agency that, I mean, I don't know how many agencies you've engaged, but when I've engaged in the past, marketing and branding agencies, they are so expensive. And so now you have a tool as an individual entrepreneur where you can go in and you can, you know, make a few clicks and create your own product studio and create really, really strong images to go along with your marketing and branding. And I got to tell you, you know, psychologically, we as human beings, we are really drawn to those bright, professional looking photos. So being able to get those quickly, easily, how cool is that? Right? You know, branding is for everyone now with Suna. I'm very excited.
Our marketing department, who is also the production team for Startup Hustle, is going to listen to this, and they are going to be laughing out loud, because all the things you just mentioned is what I'm constantly bitching about.
Yeah.
On so many days. I'm like, you know, just like it's everything, people. It's the branding. Like, no one's going to look at this. Now, you know, you mentioned, so Andrew Morgans, who hosts the Tuesday spot on Startup Hustle, and the CEO and founder of Marknology and Amazon Brand Accelerator, this is one of their biggest problems there. Like, they have to have like, and we're moving into the same building together soon, and they have to have like a whole photo studio in there, because that's how bad people are at this stuff. Like, people will engage an agency like his in order to get help selling more stuff on Amazon. And then they'll look at their stuff and be like, did your kids take this picture with a 3-megapixel camera right. from 1,000 years ago? That's when the 3-megapixel camera came out, actually, 1,000 years ago. Yeah. I read a quote. I read a tweet that Abraham Lincoln sent out today about that. So,
For sure.
Was that, there you go. This is a real thing. And, you know, we run into this, and I run into this at Full Scale a lot too, because we have some fractional services we offer to our clients, and one of them's creative. And
It's simple
because you oftentimes need a designer or someone to like make it look snazzy. And you can spend 10 hours trying to find someone to do 3 hours worth of work.
Right.
And, you know, and so any tools that make that better, faster, cheaper, I'm into. And it's clearly going well for Suna because they've raised $18 million in funding. So
right,
doing something right. Now, speaking of problems and funding and financing, the next company on our list, which is Approve, now that's APRUVE, they solve a problem that I like having solved. They specialize in credit management and AR automation. This is invoice financing. Now, look, this is an issue that exists for any company that carries AR. So accounts receivables, money that people owe you. And depending on who you are as a company, often dictates what you're able to ask for when it comes to this stuff. Now, at Full Scale, our clients pay us in the month that they're receiving their service. Some places don't get paid for 60, 90, 100, maybe even 180 days from when they ship stuff. So if you sell products, being able to fund your operations while you're waiting for checks to come in and all that stuff, the struggle is real. And that's something and that's what Approve works on. So, and you know, the one thing that I really like about when they talk about their product, they say that they approve long tail transactions. So what does that mean? The long tail, if you look at a graph and over on the left side, it's all, what is that? The axis or something, whatever the vertical part of a graph is. And it's really tall on the left. And then as it moves to the right, it eventually drops off a cliff and then it begins to form this really long tail. Now, I love the long tail because the long tail is where the low hanging fruit exists. There just isn't a ton of it. So I'll give you an example. On iTunes, when people used to buy songs, every day that that would occur, all of the long tail of one purchases would always be a bigger number than all of the twos and above added together. There's a lot in the long tail, but with that, I'm guessing that this, when you say long tail transactions, there's a whole lot of weird, goofy, like niche kind of one-off sales that might not fit into the normal AR invoice financing model to make things quick and easy. So having someone that deals with the alternate side of that, any of this, I mean, they're talking about, you know, and on their site and in their business about doing it on a daily basis. And as a business owner, if you can get it, like, especially in a product sales or anything where you have a lot of transactions or money going in, money coming out, this is a dream come true. So definitely a problem we're solving. And just like overall, and that's another thing too, is when we've been talking about the supply chain a little bit, when the supply chain's goofy or things are messed up, this becomes an even more delicate balance. So all for anything to fix and improve invoice financing.
Yeah, it's a definite pain point for sure. So any company that's ready to tackle that beast head on, super, super psyched to see that come into market. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's a top Minneapolis startup right there.
There you go.
Yeah.
So is the next one on the list.
And I got to tell you, like, we've talked about names a little bit earlier, and this name just makes me happy. But next on the list, we have Nice Healthcare. And I don't think there's anybody out there in this world who did not, if they didn't already know, did not realize the importance of quality, solid healthcare, especially through a pandemic. I think that nice is not often a word or an adjective that we associate with healthcare. But Nice Healthcare is offering some solutions to a lot of the pain points that people experience when they're trying to just take care of themselves. They are a nurse practitioner led, they're a primary care clinic based out of Minneapolis. But they have a focus and they offer a lot of their services through video visits, in-home visits. They operate outside of health insurance, so they save their patients money. So it's kind of that concierge medicine that you hear about, but they're trying to make healthcare as accessible as they can for people. You know, they even do mail order pharmacy so that you don't have to go to the pharmacy after an appointment and wait around, you know? So they're just trying to make healthcare accessible and easy and effective for people. And I think that's absolutely incredible. And clearly, you know, others do as well. They've raised $6.1 million over 4 funding rounds. And I'm just really, really excited to see what they have coming up next. You know, they've got an app, they're expanding their territories and their services and, you know, just trying to find ways to get to the people who need healthcare and make it as easy as possible. I mean, I don't think there's anybody who doesn't think that's awesome, who doesn't understand why that's important. Right, Matt?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, telehealth is big. So we mentioned at the beginning of the show that Lauren and I are in Kansas City. It's our hometown. And a decade ago, Google decided that we would be the first city that they would pay to string up fiber internet. And that was Google a big deal fiber. Here. It was kind of a big deal everywhere. But one of the big things that came with that and this rollout of massive bandwidth everywhere was excitement that telehealth was going to become a real reality. And it began to. Now, with that, there is still a massive, massive addressable market out there for people that don't even have the bandwidth yet. And these are things like when you see Elon Musk launching chains of internet satellite rockets up into space and all of that, like we are right around the corner from the world just being on, if not a fiber connection, really damn close. Which makes the growth potential for all telehealth type businesses. Like you can be in the middle with that kind of satellite internet technology. You can be in the middle of the desert in Sudan and still potentially talk to someone either in that country or somewhere else. And it's that high level of bandwidth that lets people communicate more. And like, that's, I just really think that telehealth is going to keep popping. And then on top of that, I mean, we're really just kind of shifting into a remote world. We're never coming back. I mean, in a lot of cases, sure. If you read, I'm trying to sound sophisticated here because I actually do read the Wall Street Journal every day. I do it through the app. I don't get the actual paper unless it's made out of Bim Bam Boo, then I would consider it. But there's an article every day about a different employer that's just like doing this or doing that. And they're saying, hey, look, the model's changed. This remote access to all this stuff, including telehealth, is really, I think, a big area for growth and startups. Much like the same area. So recently, I don't know if you know this, I spoke virtually to 500 IT educators in the Philippines.
Okay? I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, I technically own the fastest growing tech company in the Philippines. Did you know that?
I didn't, but I'm going to be sharing that factoid all over town.
Yeah, it's fun. So part of that, they wanted information about, they wanted me to talk about like the future of tech as I saw it. And two things that we're seeing in this list over and over again are healthcare and finance. Those are two things that aren't going anywhere. And those were two of my pillars for future tech growth. Meaning like if we had to have our students get into any industries, what would some of those be? And fintech is a big one. And so, yeah, that and healthcare are tremendous growth opportunities. Now, why fintech? Because fintech, like you'd be like, it's amazing, like how shitty my bank's technology is.
Right.
I'm not going to mention what bank they are, but you suck. Like, it's terrible. You can't even stay connected to my QuickBooks account for like a day. And it's frustrating and it's ripe for disruption. And it's really, really fragmented. Like, there's all these different banks and there's a better way to do that. Now, that's one of the things that the next company on our list, Branch, just like it sounds, people, Branch, They have developed an app to help businesses accelerate payments to empower working Americans. Companies turn to Branch for a more cost-effective, faster way to pay workers and reduce the cost of paper checks and cards. Now, look, the struggle's real, man. Like, I don't even know, like, the local branch of my bank just closed, and I, like, 3 months ago, and I haven't even been to the other one. That I'm like, what's a bank, right? What's a paper check?
Because I totally do.
Yeah, why can't, yeah, like, why, yeah, like, if the government can just put money in my bank account magically over and over again during a pandemic, why can't everyone that's trying to pay me, including an employer? Now, we pay everyone digitally at Full Scale, but my God, like, can you imagine, like we got to have, there's always got to be a better way. And that's one of the things that Branch is working on. Now, this is kind of a cool stat. So they've raised over $10 million in funding, and we're a Techstars company. So Techstars, if you're not aware and you're thinking about starting a company, it's a good place to start. Try to get into that accelerator. They know what they're doing. They have a nice presence here in KC. I don't know what that looks like up in Minneapolis, but they're around. So overall, this kind of fintech, and there's a lot of room for growth there. There's a lot of room for growth, and there's a lot, I mean, everyone needs it. Everyone wants it. And, you know, good for you, Branch. Good for you.
Way to go.
All right, Lauren. Should we be shocked? We really have a true pattern for the kind of businesses that are emerging out of the Twin Cities. And you're going to prove that with the next company on our list.
Because we have yet another fintech company coming our way. We've got ConnexPay. And, you know, they exist in the financial service industries. But now we're going to talk about consumer banking and money and transactions and merchant transactions. So ConnexPay is a payment gateway, and it connects payment acceptance and issuance for marketplace companies. Now, what does that mean? It means that ConnexPay has found a way to accept incoming consumer payments. They are detecting fraud before processing actually occurs. You can get immediate funding, pay suppliers, all in real time. And so to the individual who uses this for their business, you're going to have lower merchant processing fees. You're going to see less instances of fraud being perpetrated. Unlimited payments processing, increased cash flow to support your business growth. Because as you just said, like that cash flow thing, it's a tough world to live in for a lot of entrepreneurs. So they have raised $15.1 million in 4 funding rounds, just doing some really, really amazing things up in fintech in Minneapolis. I'm so impressed, and I cannot wait to see these, merchant-friendly and consumer-friendly technologies just take off, because it's gonna change the face of how we transact moving forward.
There's something about ConnexPay that really gets my attention is they specialize in what they call marketplace companies. Now, there's marketplaces everywhere online. And the thing is like, you don't always know who you're doing business with. Like, are they going to pay? Right. Like, what's the story? Like, is this legit? And anything that takes that iffiness out of a transaction, speeds up the time that it takes for you to get paid and do a lot of other things, is a huge advantage. I mean, it really is. And, you know, like the thing is if you are going to do business with someone in a marketplace, knowing that they're vetted or that they, I don't know, just any assurance that you're going to get paid is a big, big thing. So, okay. So we have two more companies. Now, you know, one of the things I've really enjoyed about traveling around America with you, Lauren, is, you know, as I mentioned, we are, because we've been to a lot of cities together.
We have.
You know, we talked about a lot of different places, and, you know, different regions and different markets and different cities really do have hot spots of certain kinds. Like, we're seeing a lot of telehealth here. We're seeing a lot of fintech, transaction related type stuff. And that's clearly what's going on up there. Now, here in Kansas City, we see different stuff. So we're sometimes referred to as being in the animal health corridor.
We get
a lot of like pet and agriculture type stuff, and we should. We're in Kansas. If you've ever driven through Kansas City, you know that once you get past Kansas City, our home state, is a giant wheat field, cornfield, or something else. Like, to the point that it's so boring.
It's very pretty. Don't.
I have to apologize. As I travel the world, I have to apologize to people. They're like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Kansas. They're like, yeah. I drove across that once. I'm like, yeah, I get it, but I didn't make it that way. So don't hold it against me. They're like just so happy to see a city or a mountain, depending on which way you're going, so they can
quit feeling like.
And it's either like just grass, nothingness, or corn or wheat.
Lots of cows, and I always like looking at all the cows. So.
Well, but therefore we should specialize in certain things. Like we have, and some of it's really sophisticated too. Like I'm like pretty amazed at some of the cool stuff and some of the use cases that come out and the things that people do. Okay. Sure. So next on the list is Yardstick. Okay. So Yardstick is a software company that develops a screening and certification management system powered by a consultative approach to find a way to for core values. So Yardstick designs solutions and industry specific background screening, certifications, and training packages. This means a lot to me because at Full Scale, I didn't even know about Yardstick. I probably would have given them a shot because, we employ 230 IT professionals right now, and they are in multiple cities and multiple countries. And in order to hire our goal is to hire the top 3% of people we can find, which means that we had to create our own. So we have created over 40 certifications on our own. It's a lot of work and it's a lot of like, and here's the thing is we were able to do that because there was like, it took a lot of effort, Lauren, and like a lot of revision and a lot of upkeep and then deploying that. And then on top of it, every industry has like, there's like a different kind of vetting and like understanding of like what people are good at. And there is a story to people in general that exists past a technical skills analysis or a personality assessment. Like there's a whole nother story around all of that. And I think that any company that helps with that is freaking awesome because it is hard to find good people to work at your business. If you can be exact, oh man, because it's just such a waste of time when you get the wrong people in, they don't get it. And then you got to go start over again. So Yardstick, thank you. And by the way, that's Yardstick and that's STIK. There's notes.
Good that you specified.
There's links to all this in the show notes. But yeah, so Lauren, do you know how long a Yardstick is?
Isn't it 3 feet?
Congratulations, you are correct.
Thank
we will
much.
Move on right. to the Do last company. You have unlocked your ability to tell us who the last company on Minneapolis top startups. I was nervous there. By the way, you never would have lived that one down if you got that one wrong.
I can't work a camera, but I know how long a Yardstick is. So I will.
That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Yeah, all right.
That's right. Well, so next up, and I, dear listeners, I am so in love with the concept behind this, last but not least startup, Leah Labs. Mm. So I have a puppy. I love her madly. She's amazing. And I cannot imagine what I would do if she got cancer. Knock on wood, lots and lots of crying. But Leah Labs is a biotech company. We talk about, Kansas City and our kind of our region being in this animal health corridor. Leah Labs exists in that space as well. They are providing CAR T cells for curing B cell lymphoma cancer in dogs. But this is really exciting because, over the course of the past years, we've seen a rise in interest and development around gene editing, genomic research, and that's what Leah Labs is doing, but they're doing it on behalf of man's best friend or woman's best friend. And so it's just really, really exciting to see. They are using living cells and they are seeking genetic information to destroy cancer using this proprietary technology that they've developed. And so it's really exciting. They're creating new therapies. They are reprogramming immune cells. They're doing all kinds of really exciting things around genomics and genetics, and they're helping our best friends to stay with us just a little bit longer, because those the lives of our best friends, our best puppy friends, are just never long enough, right, Matt?
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more. Now, for those of you listening, you should also know Lauren has a pet possum, maybe even more than one.
I have three pet possums.
we're gonna do a separate episode just on that. Just so you know, there has to be a possum problem worth solving somewhere that someone wants to fund.
I feel like I could lead that charge. I know far more about possums than I should.
I will tell you, if I ever had a possum related question, I would certainly call you. So, okay, Minneapolis, good work. You guys are killing it. Well, you know, I probably should have looked at this before, but I believe that Minneapolis is one of the reasons for some of the fintech. I think that's one of the places that is a hotbed for payment card processing.
Oh.
I might be wrong about that.
Well, I'm going to assume you're correct.
I think it is. I mentioned I used to travel up there. Now, Minneapolis is a beautiful city. I've always enjoyed going there, and very beautiful, very, very Midwestern feel with a slightly different accent. And, you know, overall, like, I think this is a great list. I want to tip my cap to Jessica Powell, who leads the charge for helping us filter through who is worthy of these lists or not. Now, Jessica is one of the many employees at Fullscale.io that's the sponsor of today's episode. Let us help you build a winning software team. And there are some things on here that really got my attention. And that's where we'll end this episode is, you know, like, well, why don't you tell me what stood out to you first? Like, who are your faves?
So I know that it's going to seem a little disingenuous because it's the last one that I said, but like right now I'm super psyched about Leo Labs. Cause I think about what I would do and how panicked I would be if I found out that my dog, my sweet Kia, like if I found out that she was ill. So I'm going to go with Leo Labs because I just think that that's super cool. And I just imagine how much heartbreak they are saving animal lovers from. You know, I love that. That makes me happy. So thanks,
Leo Labs. I'm all about Yardstick today. Yeah. And now with a close second being the companies that improve financial services. Sure. I like invoice financing, especially for things that are tricky, you know, like when I invoice a couple million dollars a quarter, you know, and the things that slow that down or make it more expensive or harder to do are just another obstacle on the way to winning. But when it comes to Yardstick, you know, I think that this is a really, really needed and cool thing, because especially at startups, like, you can't afford to make hiring mistake after hiring mistake after hiring mistake. Anything that can make screening, you know, and it's such a weird world for that. And it's difficult to interview. Like, I mean, if you're not in the business of interviewing and assessing, now, Lauren, on the way to 230 employees, we've had over 5,000 applicants.
Oh, for sure.
So the thing is like, I mean, well, first off, like, that's why we created our screening, because if you're not in the top 20% of those results, you're just out. Right. Cause it's an overwhelming sample size at that point. And one of the reasons that people hire Fullscale is that we're good at screening and we're good at assessing talent and figuring out who's going to be good, what they're good at and what they're not.
You have a truly superior team, man. Like, when I look at the people that you have put around you in this company, like, you do that very, very well.
but that's not because we always did. I mean, on some levels, and like, I mean, and there's, and like I said, it's one thing to, like, with developers, it's particularly challenging because, and this is where Matt Watson was just like a golden god of like assessment, because he looked at some things that were just kind of like out of the box and he said, nah, fuck this. These are all just trivia questions.
Yeah.
Like, and he has a good point. So like when you're assessing someone, there's like, can they solve a problem? And that's the key ingredient. Can you solve a problem? Because if you can't solve a problem, then you can't really win at business, because people that win at business or businesses that win solve problems. Now, right. Here's the thing though, is that only might tell you part of it. So like we look for a number of different things. We look at like attitude, passion, likability, critical thinking, like general problem solving, leadership. Because here's the thing is, if you're hiring someone for a leadership role, you can't just take someone that doesn't profile well as a leader and be like, good luck.
Yeah.
Because if you hire the right person to be a leader, you don't have to, you just tell them what day they're starting and they're probably going to go figure out how to lead it. Yeah. But some of that stuff is really finicky. If you've ever read my book, Balance Me, I literally have a whole chapter about personality assessment, because it's such a key ingredient to getting the right people around each other.
Well, so have you heard about there's this urban legend, I don't know if it's true or not, but Microsoft, apparently one of their screening questions relates to manhole covers. And they ask a question like, how would you get the manhole, like a round manhole cover into a square manhole? I don't know exactly what the question is, but the point is, it's not so much, do you get the exact right answer to this question? But what they really want to do is they want to see your thinking process. Like, how do you tackle a problem, you know, one bite at a time? Like, are you dreaming big? Are you like, what is your process? And so I've always found that really, really interesting. But I mean, clearly, whatever assessments Full Scale has come up with, you've done a really good job at getting down to the meat and potatoes of what you're looking for in a role. Because the fact is, there are skills that you can teach, but you can't teach things like entrepreneurial thoughts,
common sense,
drive,
common sense,
or ambition, or, you know, any of those things. And so when you're screening for personality, you're screening for culture, and you're screening for those kinds of things that you don't necessarily want to have to teach someone, right?
So yeah, and the point is like with what the, I mean, that's just difficult. It's difficult because if it can be so subjective. You know, yeah, like, I mean, that's why you always let people talk to multiple people. So, all right. So if you want to hear more from Lauren, she's on Startup Hustle every week, currently on Thursdays. And I haven't even told her yet, we're going to change her day. Yeah. We're going to be a better one.
All right. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it. Startup Hustle TV. Gotta love Startup Hustle.
Yes. TV. Yes. Which is currently, at halftime. Right now, while we review and analyze and change our playbook a little bit on that, which is good. So it's kind of funny you talk about startups and the need to pivot and make changes. We started our own show what the real life of entrepreneurship was, thinking that the pandemic may let up a little more. And then we had to pivot inside of a pivot inside of another pivot. And the important thing to remember is, as an entrepreneur, you're really only one pivot away from greatness. Right, Lauren?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now, speaking of greatness, we do a couple quick little network announcements here. And don't turn off the show yet, people, because you're going to want to hear this stuff. We are going to make sure we kill it once a month with our top cities. And our guest hosted series have begun. I'd love to hear feedback from you. We are bringing in some people that really know their shit, and it's all different stuff. It's all different subject matter expertise. Yeah. And we're letting them, it's sometimes hard to get into the depth and complexity of really, really important entrepreneurial questions, topics, and just things related to innovation. Right now, we're in the middle of a series about the cannabis, which our Startup Hustle co-host Heather Steppy of the Casey Hemp Company is hosting, and we have some really cool people coming up and all going to be all around, including a whole week long turnover of the whole channel to Pipeline Entrepreneurs and Melissa Vincent. So we're just trying to keep it real, keep it fresh, and bring you the most interesting content and advice and input, mainly so you can avoid all of the stupid mistakes that we've made.
Are we going to call them stupid mistakes, or are we going to call them?
Yeah, a lot of them. Yeah, no, a lot of them are just stupid. Like, okay. I mean, you can put a hat on a pig. It doesn't mean it's not a pig. It's just a pig that's slightly better dressed than a different one. Yeah.
I'll own stupid mistakes.
if someone had just told me, and honestly, yeah, if you listen to Startup Hustle regularly, someone will have probably told you at this point. We're coming up on our 700th episode. And thank you to everyone out there for helping us get to 2 million downloads. We were all excited and happy when we got into the top 25 of all-time entrepreneurship podcasts, and now we're in the top 20. So who knows? Maybe we'll just keep riding that way.
Wait a minute. When did that happen?
Lauren, we move at the speed of business here, kid. You're going to have to keep up.
Well,
yeah.
To you,
do you really want another text message from me at like 12:43 a.m. when I find these things out?
Text messages from you.
No, you don't.
And all the texts.
Anyway, I'm going to get back to work. I got a lot of stuff to do. I'm smelling the top 10. And a lot of growth at the company. And I got to go learn more about what Yardstick does, because maybe they're going to make my life even easier, as well as all these other companies too. So I will see you in another month. And I can't even remember what city we're going to, because I'm not that prepared. Yeah.
But it's
a city, people. It is a city. See you next time.
It is. See ya.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.